from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum this morning in our first half hour, Californians living in the state's agricultural regions are at risk of drinking water contaminated with harmful levels of nitrates. That's according to a new UC Davis report. We'll discuss the extent and cost of the problem as well as potential solutions. Then at 9:30, rents in San Francisco, Marin, and the Peninsula are the least affordable in the country, according to a new study. Continuing home foreclosures have pushed rental rates up nationwide, even as home prices in some areas continue to decline. We'll discuss this trend and what it may mean for both homeowners and renters. Forum is next, after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's Forum program. In a study ordered by the state legislature, UC Davis released a report yesterday on the impact of nitrates on drinking water in the Tulare Lake Basin and the Salinas Valley. The most comprehensive study of nitrate contamination in California agricultural areas, the results reveal that nitrates, which are linked to a number of illnesses, including thyroid illnesses, so-called blue baby syndrome, and some cancers, have increased in drinking water due mainly to uses of synthetic fertilizer. Nitrates are odorless, tasteless compounds that form when nitrogen from ammonia and other sources combine with water. They're part of the natural nitrogen cycle in the environment and a key to global food production. But intensive agriculture, along with human activities, have increased environmental nitrate concentrations. The new study brings into focus many of the ongoing concerns related to the increase of nitrates in the water. And joining us to discuss the findings and the ongoing and increased concern over nitrate concentrations initially here is Thomas Harder, who is UC Davis groundwater hydrologist and the study's lead author, and we welcome you to the program. Good morning, Thomas Harder.
Good morning, Michael.
Glad to have you. For the most part, I know this study pretty much confirms what we've already known, but it's the scope that I want to emphasize for listeners. This problem is going to persist, and it's going to get worse.
That is correct. So we are anticipating that this is not going to go away anytime soon. Soon, the nitrate levels that we're finding and documenting in this study will persist for years and decades into the future.
You're projecting right now from 1 in 10 in area at risk by 2050, it would be like 80% or so?
We're estimating that currently this are about 250,000 of the 2.5 million people living in the study area are at risk of drinking water that is exceeding the nitrate standard. There is over 1 million people already that are on water systems that are either blending or treating or occasionally seeing exceedances of nitrate in their drinking water system. And we're estimating that that latter number is going to increase to well over 1 million, close to 80%.
And we could say, as I think you do, that most of this is from agriculture, almost like 95% or so from
agriculture. About 95% of this nitrate comes out of our farmland, yes.
And what you're doing, we should mention, is looking at groundwater containment. How do we get it out?
Well, there's really no way to easily get it out. We take it out as we pump it for irrigation water or for drinking water. And what's already down there, there's no really any other way to get it out. We were asked to look into traditional remediation schemes, which have been done on contaminated sites that are the size of a football field or two, but doing traditional type of remediation on a scale of this size basin with over 30 million acre-feet of water potentially contaminated is not possible.
We're talking with Thomas Harder, UC Davis groundwater hydrologist and the lead author of a study that was released just yesterday. What does this do from what we know to our food?
To the food specifically?
I mean, this is an agricultural basin. We've got groundwater contaminated with nitrates.
To the food, it's a good nutrient. So taking water out of the ground and putting it on the field when it has that nitrate, that's already fertilizer, ready-made fertilizer for the farmer to use.
But the contamination is there, and that's why I ask a question. I know this isn't your field, but I'm sure there's a lot of concern about what it's doing to the agriculture itself.
For agriculture to use water that has high nitrate is not a problem. It's not a contamination from a perspective of an irrigator. It's a contamination from the perspective of public health and when it appears as in drinking water.
So you're concerned about the scope of the problem. I mean, now that you've got a bigger database and have confirmed what we've known, is what largely? What is the major nature?
The illnesses that are related? The major concern is the public health aspect of this. The state and the federal Environmental Protection Agency and the State Department of Public Health have a drinking water limit of 45 milligrams per liter for nitrate. And the numbers that you cited indicate the population that is at risk of having that standard exceeded, and to the degree that that standard is exceeded, it is a public health issue.
So what about then establishing new wells or essentially looking for new water sources?
So systems that have or encounter these high nitrate levels, they have a number of different options. They can drill a deeper well if the water quality is appropriate. They can treat it, and there are a number of different treatment options available on the wellhead before they put it into their distribution systems. They can link to nearby water systems, consolidate with nearby water systems, either because the other water system already has cleaner water, or to leverage the economies of scale for providing treated water, which is a costly option.
Again, Thomas Harder, the lead author of a study that was released by UC Davis yesterday. He's a UC Davis groundwater hydrologist, and we thank you so much for joining us this morning, Thomas
Harder. Thank you, Michael.
We're also joined by Sasha Koch, Central Valley Bureau Chief for KQED News and winner, in fact, of an award for the nitrate series she led back in 2010. She's with us this morning from Fresno. Good morning, Sasha.
Hi, Michael.
Glad to have you. We also want to welcome Maria Herrera from Visalia, Community Outreach Coordinator with the Community Water Center, and good morning to you.
Good morning.
And we'll also say good morning to Danny Merkley, who is Water Resources Director for the California Farm Bureau Federation. He's in San Luis Obispo. Welcome.
Thank you.
Sasha, let me go to you next. Let's talk about the concerns here. I know, as I said in my introduction, we're talking about thyroid illnesses, and we're talking also about concern over blue baby syndrome. Should we be concerned about, the whole food chain here?
You know, Michael, I think what Thomas was trying to clarify is that nitrogen, when it's in fertilizer and goes into plants, is not a health risk. It's actually something that helps our crops grow. The problem is when it seeps into the groundwater, then it can cause problems. A recent study from the National Institutes of Health, in fact, just linked nitrate contamination to increased risk of thyroid cancer. And then, of course, the main concern is blue baby syndrome, which cuts off oxygen to the lungs of developing fetuses and infants. So when pregnant women or children drink this contaminated water, it's an especially high concern. And, it's not that we're seeing a lot of people get sick from nitrate contamination in these regions. Many people know that the water is dangerous. This is more of an economic problem. It's that people are paying a lot of money for their tap water, oftentimes higher bills than we pay in the cities in some of these rural communities, but they can't drink that water. And then they have to go out and buy bottled water on top of that in order to be safe.
And we're talking about disadvantaged communities for the most part, really, aren't we? Fresno, Bakersfield, Salinas Valley, areas near Monterey.
Yeah, and many unincorporated tiny rural communities near those cities. I mean, it could be, a tiny little two-street farming community where people just don't have enough of a population to pay for the kind of treatment plants that some of the larger areas have. I know when we did the nitrate series, I visited the Chino Basin. They have a very expensive treatment system down there because they have a large enough population that could support paying for that kind of thing. But for these small rural communities with a few hundred residents who have contaminated water, the solutions are really difficult to pay for.
Well, the causes, for the most part, as I understand it, and as you have pointed out in the excellent series you did, are linked to synthetic fertilizer use and increase of manure, especially on the cropland, and also shifting from pasture-raised dairy cattle to confined animal facilities, which are better but unsustainable. And most of this is unsustainable. I mean, the message here seems to be that we need new kind of agricultural methods, doesn't it?
Well, you know, it is true that as we've seen the concentration of dairies, particularly here in the Central Valley, moving up from the Chino Basin, you know, we're seeing more manure applied in a more concentrated way to the land. I think the challenge here, you know, especially for regulators, is that no one thinks that we can limit or stop farmers from using fertilizer or from having dairy cows. I mean, agriculture is the economic engine.
No, but forgive me, you could put a nice tax on fertilizer, for example, could you not?
Well, that is one of the solutions that Thomas Harder suggests as a possibility in his report. And, you know, it's something that water quality advocates have been pushing for a while. I think a lot of listeners may be surprised to find out that farmers don't pay sales tax on fertilizer. And, you know, water quality advocates say, hey, if they did, it would be a good incentive to use less fertilizer. And I think the, you know, the agricultural industry disagrees with that. But there are a lot of solutions that are out there, and it's really going to be up to agriculture, water quality advocates, and regulators to kind of sit down and hammer this stuff out.
Again, Sasha Coca with us from Fresno is Central Valley Bureau Chief for KQED News, and Maria Herrera is Community Outreach Coordinator with Community Water Center in Visalia. We're looking, Maria Herrera, at least some action in terms of policy. Let's get a picture from you. In fact, there is an assembly bill.
That's correct.
AB 685, which is essentially a human rights water push. Talk about what that is.
So the human right to water is really another vehicle to really establish, you know, our statewide policy and foundation to work from. I mean, I think that given that it's clear that over 1 million people currently right now in California do not have access to drinking water, it's important that as a state we work towards that goal of ensuring that every Californian has access to safe, clean, and affordable drinking water, and that we, you know, address this issue of having families pay twice for water and having to worry every day whether or not their kids or, you know, are going to have access to safe drinking water at home and at school. Because one of the things that hasn't been mentioned is that many schools in California do not count with access to safe drinking water and are having to spend educational money on providing alternative water sources. And so this is also a big issue for our schools.
Well, we're also talking about some arsenic in this water, aren't we?
Correct. Arsenic is another huge contaminant of concern in the valley. And what we've seen is that many communities have had to close down wells due to nitrate contamination and are now dealing with arsenic issues. And so while they're getting rid of one contaminant, they're not having to deal with another one. And so this nitrate issue is affecting a larger number of people, more than what the report is highlighting.
Well, the report also highlights the need for about spending $35 million a year for decades just in the two basins. And Danny Merkley, where's that water going to come from? Danny Merkley, again, is Water Resources Director for the California Farm Bureau Federation.
Well, and that's one of the key issues that we're all focusing on is the immediacy of the challenge of finding a clean water supply for those most impacted. And that's one of the things that we've been having discussions with not only the environmental justice community but also the state agencies.
Well, there is some money from propositions, and there's USDA rural assistance. I mean, there's certainly, even in a time when revenues are so scarce, there is money to be used here, isn't there?
Well, and that's where we are focusing right now in agriculture, saying that, you know, this is a serious issue that needs some immediate attention, and the quickest way we can do that is to break free those dollars that were approved in bond measures going back into the 80s that are still caught up within different agencies in Sacramento that can be broken free quickly.
So like bureaucratic cemented money almost, isn't it?
I was trying to avoid the using the term bureaucratic. But, yeah, it's dollars that's caught up. And there's a significant amount that's available, and most of those bonds had in the title clean drinking water. Clearly that's what the voters were looking at when they approved those bonds, was to help supply solutions for some of these drinking water supplies.
Are we seeing, in your judgment, though, generally overall, a diminution of synthetic fertilizer use?
What I've seen in reading through this report, and I told Thomas yesterday, I read through it cover to cover. I need to read through it a few more times so that it the entirety attaches to my brain. But it shows that from 1945 until the late 80s or 1990-ish, an increase in synthetic fertilizer applications. And then at that period, the last 20 years or so, we saw a leveling off of that, while that same period of time we saw a significant increase in yields, which means we are doing a much better job at managing our fertilizer applications and our efficient applications of that.
Well, I'm glad there's some bright news in this, and I should remind listeners that we're talking about the fact that Californians living in the state's agricultural regions are at risk of drinking water contaminated with harmful levels of nitrates. That's according to a new UC Davis report. We invite you to join us, and in fact, we'd like to hear from you. If you have some thoughts about this or if you have questions or comments, you can join us now at our toll-free number, which is 866-733-6786. Again, feel free to join the program with something you'd like to contribute. The phone number, 866-733-6786. You can also, of course, join us by emailing us, forum@kqed.org, or posting any questions or comments you may have on our website, kqed.org/forum. Click on this segment or go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/kqedforum. And if you have something you'd like to contribute, certainly now is the time to do that because this is a half-hour segment. We spoke earlier with Thomas Harder, the UC Davis groundwater hydrologist who is a lead author on this study, and Sasha Coca with us, Central Valley Bureau Chief for KQED News, and Maria Herrera, Community Outreach Coordinator for the Community Water Center, and Danny Merkley, who is Water Resources Director with the California Farm Bureau Federation. I wanted to also bring in Jessica Sanchez, who is a young woman expecting her first child whose water is nitrate contaminated. Jessica Sanchez, thank you for joining us. Welcome.
Oh, thank you. Good morning to all, first of all.
Good morning to you. And this contaminated water is being piped into your home. So what are you doing about it?
Yes, well, pretty much is the same struggle for quite a while. As of today, well, I'm expecting my first child, as you said, and it's pretty devastating because now I don't only have to worry about my own health, I have to think about my child's health as well. So it's pretty sad that we have to pretty much go through this every single day.
You can't drink the water coming out of your sink?
No, I can't. It's contaminated by nitrates.
And you, what about the drinking water actually in the public water system there? It's been contaminated for years, hasn't it?
Yes, it has.
So you're forced, really, or compelled for the safety of your child-to-be to drink bottled water most of the time?
Yes, I do.
It's expensive, yeah?
Yeah, very.
So are you looking to get some more, regulation out of this from public policy with agriculture?
Definitely.
How are you doing that?
Pretty much I've been kind of working with CWC. And
it's a community water center.
Yeah, the community water center, pretty much. And it's pretty much been a long battle, but we're not giving up anytime soon until it's set right, pretty much.
Well, I wish that you will have some victories in those battles, and I hope you have a good birth and a healthy child, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Jessica Sanchez, living in the area that we're talking about here. And let's go to our callers. We go to Melissa first. You're up. Melissa, good morning.
Morning. How are you? So my dad's a third generational farmer, and we've been experiencing the issues and definitely involved in trying to find something positive. But this is my first time hearing about bonds being saved for specifically a Clean Water Act. And I don't know how to get word about that to the farming community. And really what I feel like is a lot of fingers pointing at the farming community and blaming them, when really I feel like the state and the county aren't really helping and being cooperative.
Well, you're raising a good question. Actually, Danny Merkley, how to get the word out on the bond money?
Well, and quite honestly, the word that needs to get out is to those in a position to either retask those dollars or break those dollars free and start moving them out for immediate solutions to help with either cleaning up water at the wellhead or other finding other sources as well.
Well, we're helping here, I hope, get that word out. And I want to thank Melissa for her call and go right to another caller, and that's Randy. You're on. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, I'm wondering if farmers in agriculture could calculate how much nitrogen the soil could hold and then only apply either that much fertilizer or only have that many dairy cows that would meet that maximum of nitrogen, so there wouldn't be this overflow of nitrate.
What about making those kind of calculations, Sasha Coca? Can you help us here?
You know, I actually went out to a field in the Salinas Valley where they've been doing some of the most groundbreaking work on this stuff and watched farmers use what's called a quick nitrate soil test, where they can sort of look and see how much the plants are taking up and how much is seeping down into the soil. You know, there is technological innovation out there. It's really hard to measure, though, what goes into the groundwater from what farm. I mean, nitrates move, the groundwater aquifer moves. You know, I think the Central Coast, though, is really where we need to look for this kind of innovation. And in fact, tomorrow, the Regional Water Board there is going to take a vote on some groundbreaking rules that would require individual farmers to monitor groundwater contamination. It's a pretty contentious thing there. Agriculture has its own plan. They want to hire third-party auditors to look at whole watersheds and keep the anonymity of growers. But I think that, you know, that's really where we're going to start to see some of the first rules there, looking at, you know, just exactly what can the land hold.
And again, Sasha Coca is Central Valley Bureau Chief for KQED News. And Maria Herrera, here's a listener in Livermore named Ken who says, how extensive is the water contamination in the Central Valley? I assume most Central Valley drinking water comes from reservoirs filled by Sierra snowmelt, not from pumping groundwater. I thought the farm runoff polluted lower river basins and delta flows, which impacts wildlife more than people.
So, and to Larry, here in the Central Valley, over 90% of our communities rely on groundwater, and I think that's really important for people to know that. Oftentimes, when we think of our drinking water, we think of surface water. However, groundwater is the primary source of drinking water for many communities, and as you've heard, it's heavily polluted with nitrates and other contaminants.
Yeah, I think that's an important point, Sasha Coca, for the public to understand just how much they're dependent upon groundwater.
Right. And it's not only a water quality issue, you know, it's a quantity issue. As we're growing as a state, some of the biggest growth is taking place in areas that rely heavily on groundwater, the Inland Empire, the Central Valley, the Salinas Valley. And, you know, as we keep growing, we're going to face more contamination issues related to the legacy of fertilizer. These were all previous farming areas.
So what are the farmers doing about this at this point? What do you sense that they're doing?
Well, we
Danny, let me actually go to Danny Merkley on that.
Go ahead.
And again, we're focusing on the on a combination of fixes. We need to look at the immediacy of getting clean water to those communities. One of the challenges with finding additional surface water supplies is both Mother Nature's droughts that we've been addressing, and then the regulatory droughts where surface water supplies have been cut off as a result of the Endangered Species Act. And not to say that we don't want to protect endangered species, but at some point we're hoping to get a little better balance in order to have a more reliable surface water supply so as not to tap into our groundwater supply, which in essence is our savings account.
Well, we wish you the best of luck, and we thank you for being with us. Again, Danny Merkley is with the California Farm Bureau Federation, Maria Herrera, Community Water Center, Sasha Coca with KQED's Central Valley Bureau, and we spoke with Thomas Harder, UC Davis groundwater hydrologist who led the study, and Jessica Sanchez, a young woman expecting her first child. When we return, we'll talk about higher rents.